Good afternoon, brethren. Today, I'd like to look at the first commandment, which is the starting point toward eternal life, to show how important it is to all of us, and without living by it, we would fail in God's purpose for us. We should compare ourselves with what it states. And I'd like to start today in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. This is a starting point that everything else is based on. Our whole eternal life. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land to which you are crossing over to possess. Why is this important? Well, verse 2 tells us why. That you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, that you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Verse 3 continues, therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it. What is it? What is it that was mentioned? The commandment, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your of the God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. It is interesting that in the Authorized Version and some other translations, verse 1 reads, now these are the commandments. But the original Hebrew plainly states it's singular. This is the commandment. However, in verse 3, commandments are definitely plural. That is, the Ten Commandments. Verse 4 states the commandment, hear, O Israel. In other translations, it is stated as, listen. In Strong's Concordance, the meaning is, hear intelligently. So God is saying, pay attention and take notice. This is important. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. The only one is what he is saying. In a couple of places, we can read that there is no other God but one. Now continuing in verse 5, we read, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. For a reference concerning that God is one, but consists of two persons, and commenting on this exact verse, refer to the church's booklet, God is a Family. So this is where our Christianity starts and where it will succeed in the end based on this scripture. He's talking about a totality of commitments. Now we know Jesus Christ was totally committed to his role as our Passover. He did not want to be sacrificed. He did not want to be crucified. But he remained totally committed to his Father's will. If we cannot take that first step, that of total commitment, we will not succeed in our Christian calling. When God says, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, he means with everything. We cannot hold anything back. We are probably more familiar with Matthew 22:35. That's Matthew chapter 22:35. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now the Ten Commandments are based on the first and great commandment. It is defined in commandments 1 to 4, and it shows how we are to love God. And the second commandment is defined in commandments 5 to 10, which shows how we are to love our fellow man. So why is this the first commandment? Well, we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides and God in him. So why does God command us to put him first, way ahead of whatever is second place? He will take second place to no one. He will share first place with nothing, no one else or nothing. Why? Because this is the starting point for a successful Christian life. He gives us this commandment because he loves us and he understands what will make for a successful life in our calling. He wants us to succeed. He stresses this is where we start. So where do we get this kind of love, which is the perfect expression of God's character? Without this kind of love, which comes from God, we cannot be successful as Christians. John chapter 15, verse 5, reads, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. God demands we produce fruit, including love, which can only come in its fullness from God. Verse 6, continuing, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them up and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So we must abide in Jesus Christ, otherwise we have no hope. And to do that, we must obey him, and by extension, we must obey God the Father. Now, looking at the first commandment that is given in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 3, this first commandment is most important in obeying the overall commandment in Deuteronomy 6. Because having any other God besides the eternal prevents us from loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Part of our love would be diverted from God to something else. So reading the commandment, God spoke, and God spoke to all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. This is actually the first time that God is speaking personally to the children of Israel as their whole nation. And this is mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22. That's Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22. These words the Lord spoke to you, all your assembly, in the mountain, from the midst of the fire, from the cloud, and thick darkness, with a loud voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to Moses, to me. So in this case, God introduces himself as the God who brought the people out of Egypt. Now we look at that term before, and we think before is something that things come after what is before. But it does not mean what we normally think of it. It is not like we have Almighty God first and other gods after him. The word before is translated differently in different versions. In the first translation from Hebrew to English back in 1530, this was by William Tyndale, he translated the verse, you shall have no other gods in my sight. And when William Tyndale translated Deuteronomy for chapter 5, he translated the same commandment as, you shall have no other gods in my presence. Other translations use the term, you shall have no other gods besides me. Another has, you must not have any other gods but me. God is emphasizing that when the children of Israel were to go into the promised land, they must not accept any of the idols that the people of the land called gods. The people of many countries in the area had a multitude of gods that were not gods, but were worshipped by the people in that area. Things like the sun, the moon, or the stars, and a multitude of other things that they thought I was gods. Now in Isaiah chapter 44 verse 8, God confirms that there are no other gods beside himself. He tells us, "Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one." In other places, God is called a rock, and this is mentioned as a reference in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 3 and 4. You may look up that later, of course. But to talk about God being the rock would require another sermonette, because there are so many references to it. It's interesting, in the Authorised Version, the word rock is translated as God. But of course, according to Strong's Concordance, rock is the correct translation, not God. So when God says, "There is no other rock," that is the correct translation. Now, God is a jealous God, but it's not because that he has an ego. It is because that he knows that only he can enable us to have eternal life. No other God, no other being can convert us from physical to spiritual. No one else can give us eternal life except God. So why is this the greatest commandment? Because a proper relationship with God is the sole source of everything else that is good. This is the starting point. Without this, we are cut off from God's Holy Spirit and God's love. In the last Passover ceremony that Jesus Christ had with his disciples, he emphasized for them to keep his commandments. And if they did, he would ask his Father to send them the Holy Spirit. From this, it is obvious that if they did not obey the commandments, they would not receive the Holy Spirit. In the love chapter, it mentions that the greatest of faith, hope, and love is love. And the true starting point for love is putting God first, way before anything else in our life. Of course, in this modern day and age, we don't make idols and bow down before them. Although when I've driven through a place like Austria, they do have shrines beside the road where people will stop and worship. But of course, in countries like Australia, other developed countries, where we have plenty of food, we have clothing, homes, we basically have lacked nothing physically up till now. Although, of course, with the current economic situation, that is changing. We no longer have as much as we used to. But do we put things before God? Anything we put before God becomes our idol, whether family, work, sport, entertainment, anything that comes before God prevents us from obeying that first commandment. Not that family, work or sport or other activities are not important or wrong in any way, but they are wrong only if we put them before our love for God. And he knows exactly what we are putting before him. He knows our thoughts. If you want to study more on this subject, see the church's booklet, The Ten Commandments. So we should ask ourselves, is there anything I am putting before God? And so not keeping this first and greatest commandment. Always remember that God has given this commandment for our good. As we read in Acts chapter 5 verse 32. That's Acts chapter 5 verse 32. God gives his Spirit to those who obey him. So while we understand that the resurrection to eternal life is a gift from God, the reward we receive at that time does depend on the fruits we develop in this life and how much we obey that first great commandment.